it's while he is away. And I am not going to accept the challenge that Rabbi Weichselbaum gave me of trying to pick up from where he left off and still finish today's daf, because I'm definitely not going to do that. So what we're going to do is we're going to start from Nunches Amud Beis, the two dots on the second wide line of the Amud. Avi Khan had sent a WhatsApp to the WhatsApp group with an arrow pointing to where we're going to start. So today we're going to cover really two or three, let's say three primary topics. So first we're going to talk about the concept of Sikriken, which is where we left off yesterday. The concept of Sikriken is one that we began discussing in the Mishnah, which had been talking about the Takanas of Tikkun Olam. Sikriken are people who basically they pillage land from Jewish people, and the Jewish people give the Sikriken their land because the alternative is being killed, and nobody wants to be killed, so they give Sikriken the land. The question is, what happens if you buy a piece of land from the Sikriken, who is somebody who seized land inappropriately from a Jewish landowner? What happens in that situation? That's going to be the first topic that we're going to cover on today's daf. In that context, we're going to talk about based in Shalach Harayim, that there used to be a certain halacha lagabe Sikriken, and then another based in a later based in made a different halacha. We're going to talk about that later based in. We're going to talk about the orientation of that based in, how it sat in a semicircle and how it would always begin. That basin would always begin deliberations from the side, as opposed to the greatest Dayan, who would ordinarily sit in the middle. That basin would begin deliberations from the side. We're then going to talk about the concept of Torah Gedula B'makom Echad, how there were only a couple of very singular people throughout the generations who had both Torah and Gedula. Torah, obviously, prowess in Torah. Gedula probably means Ashiras, according to some. According to others, it means influence in societal construct, in a societal setting, governmental influence or power, something like that, how people had Torah Gedula B'makom Echad. Then we're going to talk about the takana that they made because of Tikkun HaOlam, how people who were not able to speak could still transact, that it's important that ordinarily people transact by speaking, by verbalizing what they want to one another. How about people who can't talk? Problem is, they need to provide for their needs as well. So how do they transact? So that's going to be the topic of the Mishnah that we're going to deal with on Nun Tesem and Aleph. And on Nun Tesem and Beis, we're going to talk about other takanos that they made because of Tikkun HaOlam, and we are going to discuss, or the Mishnah is rather on the very bottom of Nun Tesem and Aleph, but going to Nun Tesem and Beis, we're going to talk about other takanas that they made because of Tikkun HaOlam, different types of gezel because of Tikkun HaOlam, the fact that a kohen reads first in the Beis HaKnesses because of Tikkun HaOlam. That's going to get us on a whole discussion of why the kohen reads first, what's the makar, what happens if there is no kohen, what happens if there is no levi. That discussion is going to continue on to tomorrow's daf. So we got our work cut out for us, beginning again, Nunches Amud Beis, the two dots, second wide line. So just to level set, so that we know what we're talking about here in the Gemara, if you go back to the Mishnah on Nunhei Amud Beis, which was before all of the Churban Agadatas, that Mishnah had said that there were no Sikriken in Yehuda in the time of the Haruge Melchama. From the time of after the Haruge Melchama, there was Sikriken. What is Sikriken? So the Mishnah told us that as follows. Ketzad, we're just reading from the Mishnah on Nunhei Amud Beis. Lokach me Sikriken. If a person buys a piece of property from the Sikriken, who again is the guy who seizes the property from the Jewish person, because of a lokach me balabais, then he goes to the balabais and says, hey you, I bought your land that the Sikriken had confiscated, mecha batal. That's not going to be a valid sale. Why? Because we're afraid that the only reason that the Jewish person agreed to the sale was because he was intimidated by the fact that Sikriken previously agreed. However, it said, however, lokach me balabais, If he bought it first from the Balabayas, because of a lokach me Sikriken, and then he bought it from the Sikriken, mechokayim, then his sale is going to be valid, because we don't assume the owner was intimidated by the Sikriken, because the sale from the Sikriken took place second in time. We then had a diversion to talk about buying from a husband before a wife, or a wife before a husband, so we're going to skip over that in the Mishnah. And then it said, Zu Mishnah Rishona. That was the first Mishnah. In other words, that was the first halacha, about buying from a Sikriken. Basin Shalach Reyam Amru, the other basin said, the later basin said, Alokeach me Sikriken, if a person buys from Sikriken, the sale is going to be good, the purchase, in other words, is going to be binding. However, Nosein Labailim Buravia, that he has to give the actual owner 1/4 of the value of the property. Emasai, when does he have to do this? Says the Mishnah, Mizman Shein B'Yadam Likach. That's only when the owner doesn't have the ability to buy the property himself. Avol Yesh B'Yadam Likach Ein Kom L'Kol Adam. However, if the owner has the ability to buy back the property from the Sekrikin, then you shouldn't try to jump and get a good deal by buying from the Sekrikin, who you know is going to be selling at a discount because he's selling stolen property. But you have to let the owner actually buy the property. Rebbe Hoshe Beis Din V'Nimnu, and then the Mishnah concluded by telling us that Rebbe established a Beis Din and said, Shem Mishasa B'Fnei Sekrikin Shnei Masar Chodesh Kol HaKodem Likach Zaka Avol Nosam L'Bailam Raviya, that we don't give the owner an interminable right of first refusal. In other words, we don't give the owner the ability to buy the first ability to buy the land from the Sekrikin forever. Rather, we see if he waited 12 months in the hands of the Sekrikin, and the owner still hasn't bought the property back, then we no longer say, oh, nobody else could buy because maybe the owner is going to be able to buy from the Sekrikin. No, rather, we allow anybody to buy from the Sekrikin after 12 months. However, that person has to give a quarter to the Baal HaBayis. Right now, what we're going to talk about in the Gemara is, what does it mean a quarter? A quarter of the money that he paid the Sekrikin, or a quarter of the land's value? What is it that he has to give to the Baal HaBayis? So says the Mishnah, says the Gemara rather as follows. Zum is Rishona, Basin Shalach Reim, Amaral Lakech, Menes Sekrikin, Nosein Labailim Revia. You have to give a quarter to the owner. Samarav, Revia Vakarka, O Revia Bamos. That it could be either a quarter of the value of the property, or a quarter of the property itself, meaning a quarter of the value of the property or a quarter of what you paid. Ushmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, Raviya Bakarka, no, it has to be a quarter of the karka, Shaheim Shlish Bamos, that which is one third of the money. In other words, because if what you actually buy the car, if in other words, says the way Rashi explains this, is if the karka is actually worth four, then the Sekrikin is going to sell it for three. So then the question is, what exactly do you have to pay to the Baal HaBayis? Is it one fourth or one third? Is it a third of what you paid, or is it a third of what you paid, or is it a quarter of the value of the property? So, but my kamifli, so what are they talking about? So, mar sabar nechi revia zavin, and mar sabar nechi chumsha zavin. They're simply arguing about what the discount is that the Sekrikin is going to sell the property for. And then you're going to have to sort of like make up that extra value by paying it to the Baal HaBayis. So one says that the Sekrikin sells for one quarter, less than the value of the property, and the other mandiyamar says the Sekrikin sells for one fifth, less than the value of the property. But says the Gemara, Meisvei, Zum Mishnah Rishona, the Gemara is now going to ask on Shmuel Shita, because Rav had said that you either pay with Revia Bakarka or Revia Bamos, because Rav is the one who says that if the Karka is worth five, the Sekrikin sells for four. So if you pay the owner one fourth of the value of the property, and this is confusing because the way the Gemara talks about one fourth is not like we talk about one fourth. In other words, if we have a hundredth, so if we have a dollar, so the way we would talk about one quarter of a dollar is a quarter of a dollar. That's not what the way the Gemara talks about it is, it's a quarter on top of like the one. So it's like it's going to be one quarter of one and a quarter. So that's the way the Gemara deals with all this. But right now, what we're going to do is we're going to ask a kasha on Shmuel Shita, because Rav said it's either Revia Bakarka or Revia Bamos, and then Shmuel said no, it's Revia Bakarka, which is Shlish Bamos. So Meisvei Zumish Rishona Basin Shachreim Amru Alokeach Min Hasekrikin Nosein LaBailam Revia V'Yad Balim Al Elyona, and the Yad Balim is on top, meaning Ratzu Bakarka Notlin Ratzu Bamos Notlin. If the owner wants one quarter measured on the value of the property, he could take it. If he wants one quarter measured on the amount of money that the guy paid to the Sekrikin for the property, then he could take that. Emesai Bezman Shein B'Yadan Likach Avol Yesh B'Yadan Likach Ein Kol Milakal Adam. But that's only when the owner doesn't have the ability to buy the property back himself. But if he does have the ability to buy the property back himself, then we give the owner a right of first offer. So Rebbe Hoshe Beis Din V'Nimnu. However, Rebbe then made a Beis Din and established Shemshas of Ebnei Sekrikin Shnei Masar Chodesh Kol HaKodem Likach Zaka. That Rebbe had said that we give the Bailam a right of first offer only for a specified period of time, only for the first 12 months. Once 12 months have elapsed and the owner has not taken up his right of first offer, we then allow anybody else to come in and buy property from the Sekrikin. Avol Nosein LaBailam Revia Bakarka O Revia Bamos. But the takana was that you have to pay the bailim either one quarter of the karka or one quarter of the money, which is like the shita of Rav against the shita of Shmuel. So Ravashi kitanya hi la'achar shebo moos liyado. No, because over there, what we're talking about is after the money comes into the comes into his possession. In other words, what the Gemara is basically saying here is that the difference is whether we're referring to a shtush milabar or a ravia milabar or a ravia milagab. That the difference is whether we're talking about one quarter of the amount or one quarter of the amount plus the quarter. So, but really it's not a question on Shmuel because Shmuel is just looking at this from a different perspective. Okay, enough about the Sakrikans. So Amar Rav, now much easier stuff because it doesn't involve math, which I'm notoriously bad at. So Amar Rav, Ano havi b'minyona debe Rebbe. I was in Rebbe's Beistin, Umino Didi Manu Beresha. And they used to start with me first. In other words, says Rashi, that when they were sitting in the Shura of Dayanim, the Dayanim would ordinarily sit in the semicircle, and the greatest Dayan would sit in the center. And what Rav is saying is that they would start with me first, because they would always be maschil minatzad. And who sat on the side? Who sat on the side, says Rashi, was, let's say, the average judges. Now, bear in mind that we're talking about Gedolim over here, so when we talk about average judges, we're not talking about average people, but we're talking about if you have a number of Dayanim on a basin, you shouldn't start with the least qualified Dayan, because nobody really cares what that guy says. You shouldn't start with the most highly qualified Dayan, because the risk is that if you start with the greatest Gadol on the Beistin, then he's going to say something and everybody's going to fall in line after him. So what you do is your Maskel Menatzad. You start from the Beinoni. You start from the middle level Dayan over here. Says the Gemara, V'anantana dine mamanes fataros fatumas maschilim en agadol v'dine nefashos maschilim en atzad. Why would you start from the Tzad? Why would you start from the Beinoni? It's only dine nefashos that you would start from the Beinoni, but Dine Mamanis and Tuma Tara, you would always start from the Gadol. So why would they always start from the Beinoni in Rebbe's based in? So Amar Rabba, Brei de Rava, Visema, Reb Hillel, Brei de Ravilas, Shani, Minyana, Debe Rebbe, Dekula Minyana, Minatzad, Avi Maschilin. That the Minyan Debe Rebbe, in other words, the based in of Rebbe, was different because he would learn everything from Dine Nefashos. And that's the way Rashi explains. In other words, just like by Dine Nefashos, the din is Maschilin min Atzad, so too by Dine Mamadis, the din is that Maschilin min Atzad. And Rashi quotes the Pasuk Losan al Riv, which is where we learn that Achrei Rabba Mahatos, which is where we learn that we're Maschilin min Atzad, so as not to create a dynamic where everybody's going to immediately fall in line after the greatest Dayan. Tosfos didn't like that because Tosfos says that it's obvious that that Losana al Riv is only talking about Dine Nefashos, and it's not talking about Dine Mamanos. And also there's a Mishnah Masechah Sanhedrin that says that the din of Losana al Riv and Achrei Rabba Mahatos and Maskel Menatzad only applies by Dine Nefashos, not by Dine Mamanos. So all of a sudden you're saying that Rebbe's extending the way of counting the views on the basin from Dine Nefashos to Dine Mamanos, even though the Mishnah Sanhedrin says otherwise. So the Tosfos, there's nothing to do with a drusha based on the Pasuk of Osan El Riv, rather what it has to do with the fact of Rebbe's Anivas, because Rebbe was such an Anav, he didn't want to be Maskel with himself. In other words, if you would have been Maskel from the Gadol in the basin of Rebbe, you would always be Maskel with Rebbe, and Rebbe was a tremendous Anav, and therefore he wanted to be Maskel Minatzad, he wanted to be Maskel from one of the Beinoni Dayanim. Says the Gemara, V'yama Rabba Brei de Rava, V'yisimer Rav Hillel Brei de Ravilas. So it's once we quoted one mimer from Rabba Brei de Rava or Rav Hillel Brei de Ravilas, we're going to quote another one. So Mimos Moshe V'yad Rebbe, from the days of Moshe to the days of Rebbe, Lamatzinu Torah Gedula B'makam Echad. We have not seen Torah Gedula B'makam Echad, the prominent, the preeminent Torah leader and the preeminent lay leader sort of be the same person. The Chasam Sofer says Gedula is Ashirus, and the reason that the Gemara refers to Ashirus as Gedula is because if you have Ashirus, you can accomplish a lot. You can accomplish a Dover Gadol because you can help all of the people of your generation. Rashi's Mashma that Gedula is not necessarily Ashirus. Gedula means influence. In other words, that to be a leader of a generation, both in Torah and in lay aspects, we didn't see anybody from the days of Moshe until the days of Rebbe. Says the Gemara, "Velo, is that true? How Yeshua? But there was Yeshua. Yeshua was a Godol B'Torah. Yeshua was Torah Gedula B'Makom Echad." Says the Gemara, "Have Lazar? No, there was a Lazar who was greater than him in who was also the Kohen Godol. So in other words, he had to share the spotlight. Yeshua did. Have a Lazar? Aye, but there was a Lazar. So a Lazar was the greatest, concentrated in one person. Have Pinchas? There was Pinchas. Pinchas was a great Torah scholar." Vave Pinchas, but there was Pinchas. Have Zakenim, the Zakenim were there, they were also great Torah scholars. Have a Shaul. Have a Shmuel. No, Shmuel was with Shaul. Vanach Nafshe. But Shaul died earlier in Shmuel's life. But Shmuel died earlier in Shaul's life, rather. So Kuli Shni Kamri. No, what we're talking about is that there's no person from the times of Moshe until the times of Rebbe who was the preeminent Torah scholar and lay leader for their entire lifetime. There were other people who, for a period of years, for a portion of their lives, were the greatest, but not who were the greatest in absolute terms for the entire lifetime. Says the Gemara of David, but there was David. Avi Ira Yiri. There was Ira Yiri, who was a great Torah scholar. But Ira died. Kulishni Be'inan. We're talking about somebody who had the stature for his entire lifetime. Avi Shlomo, Avi Shimi Ben Gera. Vakatle, but Shlomo killed Shimi Ben Gera. Kulishani Kamina. Yeah, again, I'm the same answer. We're talking about somebody who for his entire life had this stature. Avi Chizkia, there was Chizkia. Avi Shevna, there was Shevna, who was a Gadol B'Torah. Ha Iktel, but he was killed. Kulishani Kamina. Says the Gemara, already told you, we're talking about somebody who occupied the status of Torah Gedula B'Makom Echad for his entire life. Avi Ezra, having Nechemia ben Chachlaya. So Amar Rav Acha, Bereda, Rava, Afani Omer, Mimos Rebbe, Vad Rebbe Ashi. Not only from the times of Moshe until the times of Rebbe was there nobody else who had Torah Gedula B'Makom Echad, but from the days of Rebbe until the days of Rebbe Ashi, Lo Avim Matzinu Kor Gedula B'Makom Echad, we didn't find Torah Gedula U'Makom Echad. So the some of Farshim are bothered. What do you mean you never find Torah Gedula Makom Echad? Who do we know who always comes along with Ravashi? It's Ravina. Ravina and Ravashi were so farah. So the Mefarshim explained that, no, he was a Talmud Chaver of Ravashi, not that he was his equal or not that he was greater than him in Chachma, but he is always linked with Ravashi. So, V'lo, V'ya Huna Bar Nasan, either was Huna Bar Nasan, Shani Huna Bar Nasan, Demekaf Avikayef Leila Ravashi. No, but Huna Bar Nasan, even though he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, he knew his place. He would always be subservient to Rabbi Ashi, and therefore we could say from the days of Rebbe until the days of Rabbi Ashi, there was nobody who had Torah Gedula B'makom Echad. Okay, says the next Mishnah, again continuing in the discussion of takanos that were made because of Tikkun HaOlam. Cheresh, Romas, Venirmas. A Cheresh can signal with his hands. And in other words, says Rashi, what he signals with his hands to evidence his desires is upheld. And if somebody communicates with him and he signals with his hands acquiescence, like if somebody communicates to the Cheresh who can't verbalize, but the Cheresh gives a thumbs up, then we know that the Cheresh acquiesces to whatever the person was telling the Cheresh. Ben Meseira Omer Kofetz V'Nikbatz. Not only could he gesture with his hands, but he could also mouth with his lips. So mouthing with your lips is considered to be a less concrete, it's a less significant action than gesturing, than gesticulating with your hands. But says Ben Meseira, even mouthing with the lips is going to be fine. Says the Mishnah, B'Metaltalin. That is only by metaltolin. We're going to see why that is only by metaltolin in a second. Hapu'utos, young children, mekhan, mekachum, memkar, and memkar, they can transact bimetaltolin, with metaltolin. So, legabe metaltolin, in other words, their transactions are valid, not legabe karka. So, first of all, why is this Mishnah here? So, this Mishnah is here because of Tikkun HaOlam. In other words, because of a Tikkun HaOlam aspect, it's important that these people who otherwise wouldn't be able to transact or provide for their basic needs, that they should be able to do so. And if we said that a Cheresh can't buy anything, the Cheresh is never going to be able to get sustenance for what he needs to survive. And therefore we said the Cheresh can acquire things. He can acquire things beremiza or bekvitza. Why by metaltolin? Because again, the only reason for the takana of this takana of Tikkun HaOlam is to make sure that the Cheresh can provide for his needs. The Cheresh providing for his needs is relevant only in that he should be able to transact with movable items. The Cheresh doesn't have to be a real estate nick in order to survive, in order to fulfill his basic needs, and therefore he doesn't have to transact in karka, he only needs to transact in metaltolin. Says the Gemara as follows, Amar Rav Nachman, Machlokas b'metaltolin. The Machlokas is only by metaltolin. Aval begitin, Divrei Hakol Baramiza. However, by get, everybody agrees that it requires remiza, that it requires gesturing with your hands, which again we said is a more significant form of demonstrating one's will, one's desire, than mouthing with his lips. Now again, it's important to note that the only time the Cheresh can divorce Baramiza is if he got married Baramiza as well, because if he got married Baramiza, he could divorce Baramiza. If, however, he got married with actual Dibor, because he was a regular person when he got married, and then he becomes a Cheresh, he's no longer able to divorce his wife, because he's not able to evidence the same level of Das in the divorce as he did in the Kedushin. And we need that same level of Das, that sort of super Das that's described, in order to effectuate Gerushin the same way we need in order to effectuate Kedushin. Says the Gemara, but back to our topic, you said that the Remiza only works for Metatlin, but not by, in other words, Machlokas in the Mishnah, whether it's Remiza or Kvitza, works only with Metatlin, but not by Gittin. Everybody says that you require Remiza. Says the Gemara, Pshita, but Metatlin Tanah. The Mishnah said that this Machlokas only applies by Metatlin. Says the Gemara, no, Ma'adatema af ben Metatlin, kama af ben Metatlin, that it applies even by Metatlin. In other words, that I would have thought that there is this machlokas by Gittin, whether kvitza is sufficient, and there is a man de'amar who says that kvitza is sufficient, but the chiddush is that machlokas extends even to metaltalin, that lest you think that by metaltalin everybody would agree that kvitza is sufficient, says the Gemara, no, that you should know that this machlokas applies both by metaltalin and by Gittin. So, Ikadamri, others say as follows, Amar Nachman, k'machlokas b'metaltalin, kach machlokas b'gittin, that just like the machlokas exists by metaltalin, so too the machlokas exists by gittin, meaning that according to Ben Becerra, if the guy did kedushin via kfitza, via mouthing his intent, then he can effectuate a divorce also by mouthing his intent. Says the Gemara, but we had said that this machlokas applies only by metaltalin. How do you know that you could extend it to gittin? Ema af b'metaltalin. So again, the chiddush is that it applies even by metaltalin. It certainly applies by gittin. The chiddush is that even by metaltalin, there is a man d'amar who says that we require remiza and that kafitza alone is not going to be good. Says the Gemara now, apu'utos, these young children, mekhan mekach u'menkara memkar b'metaltalin. Piyat kama, how much is pu'utos? In other words, how old does a kid have to be when he reaches the level of pu'utos? Machvi Rav Yehuda l'Rav Yitzchak Brei, Rav Yehuda signaled to Rav Yitzchak his son. In other words, he held up a number of fingers that kvar sheis, kvar shev, 6 or 7. Rav Kana amar kvar shev, kvar tamni, 7 or 8. Masitza Tana Kfar Tesha Kfar Eser. In the Mishnah we have that it's until 9 or 10. Blo pligi kol chad v'chad l'fi chorfei. That everyone depends on his acumen. In other words, how old does a kid have to be in order to reach a level of pu'utos? Old enough to understand what he's doing. Some kids are a little bit more mature, some kids are a little bit less mature. But time am I. But why would we say that the transaction of a pu'utos is valid? Because he has to be able to provide for his sustenance. He has to survive. It said to the people who are on the meltacha, which we'll see what that is. Hose levush l'chol of the abal. Take out clothing full of the abal. My meltacha, what's meltacha? Amar Rav Abba Bar Yaakov. We're going to quote Rav Abba Bar Yaakov again because we just quoted him. Amar Rav Yochanan, davar hanimlal v'nimtach. It's linen, which is rolled and stretched. Kiyos Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Yochanan, when Rav Dimi came in the name of Rav Yochanan, he said, shigar lo bunyam ben nunyam, a fellow by the name of Bunyam ben Nunyam, who was a very rich guy, the Rebbe, he sent to Rebbe Sibni v'chomes salsala umalmala, that cloaks that could be folded. So Sibni v'chomes kam goza upalge dam goza. The Sibni were cloaks that were so fine that they were like the size of a full cloak, but the material was so fine that when it was folded, it could be folded into the size of 1.5 nuts. Salsalo malmala kapistika upalge depistika. It could be folded into the size of 1.5 acorns, because we know that the more rough or the more hardy the more thick a material is, a fabric is, it can't be folded into such a tiny, like perfect little square. Whereas if you have the finest silk could be folded into a much smaller size. So this linen was super fine linen. It could be folded into this tiny size of 1.5 nuts or 1.5 acorns. So my malmala, what's malmala? Davar nimla v'nimtach. That it could be rolled and stretched. Okay, so that was just a diversion. That was a detour because we were quoting Rav Abba Bar Yaakov Amar Rav Yochanan. So says the Gemara now, Tusan ad kama. Now, how off can they be in the price and their sale will still be a valid sale, right? We're talking about pe'utos. We're talking about these young children who are able to transact. And the question is, they're able to transact, but how off can they be and their sale still be a good sale? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yonah, Amar Rav Zeira, Achtus, Kigadol, like a sixth with a gadol, right? The halacha of Onah says that if the discrepancy in the sale price and the actual value of the item is less than 1/6, then the sale goes through. If the difference is equal to 1/6, then the deal is kana umachzir, that the sale goes through, but you have to pay the sixth of the discrepancy. And if it's yeser al shtus, if the discrepancy between the sale price and the market value of the item is greater than a sixth, then halacha is bitul mekach. So we were asking, how is it that these kids transact? In other words, how much leeway do we give them in calculating the prices? So the answer of the Gemara is that we give them the same leeway that we give a gadol, that the din of ono applies, and the din of ono applies up to a sixth. So boy, abaya, matanas omai. So ask Sabaya, what about the matana of pu'utos? In other words, is a matana by metaltolin that a pu'uta gives, that pu'utos give, are those valid matanos? And says Rashi, the dion here is we had said that the only reason that the mekach u'memkar, that the transactions of this kid is going to be valid, is because of kedei chaya, because he has to survive. He has to have the ability to buy himself provisions. So there is no requirement that he buy himself provisions. In other words, by giving a matana, that explains why he could transact and why he could buy and sell. It doesn't explain why he would have to give a matana. Or, says Rashi, why do people give a matana? People give a matana because they owe somebody a favor, or they want somebody to owe them a favor. And maybe giving a matana also is part of the same halacha that we will allow their transactions to stand because of kedei chayav, in order so that they should be able to sustain themselves. So says the Gemara, Rav Yemar Amar Ein Matanas Matana, Mar Baravashi Amar Matanas Matana. That Rav Yemar said that his matana is not a valid matana. Mar Baravashi says that his matana is a valid matana. Avchua v'shajua l'kameh to Rav Mordechai. They flipped these shitas around and then they sent it to Rav Mordechai, meaning that they made the shita that Mar Baravashi said that Ein Matanas Matana. So when they went to Rav Mordechai with the flipped shitos, Armele Zilu Amr Labar Mar, go tell the son of Mar Baravashi, Lava Chiavi Ovda, wasn't the situation as follows? Chiavi Koi Mar Chad Karia Arav Chad Karia Darga. He paints a step how Mar Baravashi was standing, one of his feet was on the floor, one of his feet was on a step. Ramino Le Matanasomai, and I asked him, what about his Matana? Ramalon Matanasomatana. And he said that, yes, his matana is matana. Achas matna shchimirav, achas matna zbari, whether the kid is a shchimirav, whether the kid is a healthy kid. Achas matana merubav, achas matana muates, whether it be a matana ruba, or whether it be a matana muates. Tosfos is medayik over here from the fact that it says, both whether he's a bari or a shchimirav, whether it's a big matana or a small matana, it doesn't say whether his matana is with karka or whether his matana is with metaltolin. It says Tosfos. Therefore, we see this is a raya that the halacha of the matana of Putos being a matana applies only to metaltolin and not to karka. Tosfos then asks, we have in Meseches Baba Basra and Perek Mishemes Legabe somebody who sells an achasim of his father and his matana is a matana, even though we call him a katan. So how could you say over here that the matana of the pu'utos is only by metaltolin and not by karka? So it says Tosfos, no, what the Gemara Baba Basra means is that he's yet less than 20 years old. But he is an adult. He is 13. In other words, he's not considered a katan for halachic purposes. However, if you're less than bar mitzvah, then the sale is going to be valid, the transaction rather, whether it be a sale or a present or a gift, is going to be valid only by metaltalin, not by karka. Okay, says the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Tesamet Aleph. Eilut varim amr of Nedar Kesholam. They said the following things because of Darkei Shalom. So Kohen Kore Rishon. The Kohen gets the first aliyah. Rashi says that why was this because of Darkei Shalom? Because in the days before they instituted that the Kohen always gets the first aliyah, they would try to give the first aliyah to the most chashuv person. And if the most chashuv person gets the first aliyah, you can imagine there was a fight in shul every Shabbos who should get the first aliyah, because everybody thought they were the most chashuv, and that led to a lot of fighting. Therefore, they were gozer. You know what? None of you guys are getting the first aliyah. Only the Kohen is getting the first aliyah. So says the Mishnah that the Kohen Korah Rishon Vachor of Levi Vachor of Yisrael Mnei Darkei Shalom, that the Kohen gets the first aliyah, the Levi gets the second aliyah, Yisrael gets the third aliyah, and on because of Darkei Shalom. The Chasam Sofer does say that the Tzibur is able to force the Kohen to be Mochel in order to give somebody else an Aliyah. However, there are a lot of other Achronim who are very much not in favor of this, and they say it's only in exceptional circumstances and only if it happens very, very rarely, but you shouldn't make a habit of forcing the Kohen to be Mochel. And now in terms of like the Yisrael, like who gets the next aliyahs in sequence, we do have chiyuvim for aliyahs, but it's really not that typical that you then like go in like order of greatness again, because you don't want people to fight about who gets which aliyah. And then also Achronim say that in a shul where they sell aliyahs, you could give aliyahs to whoever you want. So in other words, if a person buys coin, he could give the aliyah to a 13-year-old bar mitzvah boy, even if there's a great coin, Talmud Chacham, or somebody else there. So in other words, if a person buys the schus to give the aliyah, then he's able to give the aliyah to whomever he wants. Okay, so that was the first takana because of Darkei Shalom. That's the one we're going to discuss in the Gemara today. Other topics which we're not going to get to today, Ma'arvin b'bayis yashrim amnei Darkei Shalom, they'd always leave the Erev Chaseiros in the same house because of Darkei Shalom. Barshu karev la'amam esmale risham amnei Darkei Shalom. The pit, which is closest to the stream, is filled first because of Darkei Shalom. So in other words, if you envision a stream flowing down a mountain, so those who are further up the mountain are the people who get the stream, who get the water from the stream first. If they want to irrigate their fields, they are able to dam up. They're able to block up the stream in order to fill their cisterns on the side of the field so that their fields are irrigated before they lift the dam and allow the water to keep flowing downstream or down mountain. So why would they do that? Again, because Rashi explains that before this, they would always fight about who got to fill up their cisterns first in order to irrigate their field. And so we wound up saying, listen, the easiest thing is that the person who's closest to the source of the stream gets to fill first, and then everybody else who's furthest away. It's just the easiest way to do this. Mitzudos chayos v'ofos v'dogim, if you have a trap where chayos, ofos, or dogim are trapped inside, yesh ba mishum gezel amnei Darkei Shalom, there is an inyan of gezel because of Darkei Shalom. In other words, even though, and Rashi says we're talking about traps which don't have a toch, they don't have a receptacle, because if they have a receptacle, then your kalim with the receptacle are kona for you. But we're talking about traps that don't have a receptacle, and even though technically there is no kinyan, if my trap captures an animal, you shouldn't be taking it from me. There's an inyan of gezel because of Darkei Shalom, because it's not nice. Otherwise, people are going to start fighting all the time. Rav Yossi Amar Gezel Gomer. Rav Yossi says it's Gezel Gomer. Gezel Gomer, says Rashi, doesn't actually mean Gezel Gomer. It means Gezel Gomer mi divrehem. That it means Gezel Gomer Midrabanan, and Rashi says that we're going to see in the Gemara that all these, which we said is because of Darkei Shalom, they made it into an Isser Drabanan to steal. They made it like Gezel Mamish, in other words, because they made an actual Zechiyah that the person has in the item. Metzias Cher Shota Vekotan Yeshua Mishum Gezel Mnei Darkei Shalom. Again, if Cher Shota Kotan were not able to transact, if they find a lost object, you shouldn't take it from them. It's Gezel because of Darkei Shalom. Rav Yosef Omer Gezel Gomer. Rav Yosef says it's Gezel Gomer. Gomer. In other words, Gezel Midrabanan. Ani Amenake Perosh Hazayis. If an Ani is trying to collect olives from the top of a tree, Mashatakta of Gezel, Mnei Darke Sholem. So he knocks a couple off the tree, they're on the ground. You shouldn't go on the ground and take those olives that the Ani knocked off a tree. That's Gezel Mishum Darke Sholem. Rav Yossi Amar Gezel Gomer. Rav Yossi again says it's Gezel Gomer. In other words, Gezel Midrabanan. You don't interfere with the non-Jewish aniyim collecting leket shicha and peya, even though that technically is reserved only for the Jewish aniyim, but we're not going to prevent the non-Jewish aniyim from collecting because of darkei shalom, because it doesn't look right to tell them, oh, you guys can't take this because of darkei shalom, therefore we let them collect it. Says the Gemara, Minani Mili, how do we know, going back to the first halach and the Mishnah, how do we know that the coin gets the first aliyah? Zamar Rav Masa and Demar Kroah, because the Pasuk says, V'yikto Moshe as HaTorah Zos, V'yidna ala koinim b'nei Levi. It says, ala koinim b'nei Levi. Atwa no le yadana the koinim b'nei Levi. And you know, don't I know that koinim are from Shevet Levi? What's the Chiddush? Ala koin b'reisha of Adar Levi. What the Pasuk is trying to teach me when it says koinim b'nei Levi, it says, look at the sequence. Koin first, then Levi. Rav Yitzchak Nafcha Mamrehacha, V'nikshu koinim b'nei Levi. It says that the koinim b'nei Levi drew close. Or Atuanan lo yadina the koinim b'nei Levi ninu. Don't I know that the koinim are b'nei Levi? Ela koin b'reisha of other Levi. Again, koin first, then Levi. Rav Ashi Amar Me'acha b'nei Amram Aaron Moshe ve'Avdel Aaron lakdisha kodesh kadashim. That Aaron was consecrated like a kodesh kadashim. Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Me'acha. Rav Chiya bar Abba says no. The way that I know that the koin comes first is from the following pasuk. V'kidasha l'chol dover shevekdusha. This is probably the most famous, the most widely known, that it says by a coin, v'kidashto, that you have to be makdish the coin, is l'chol dover shevekdusha. You have to give him the place of prominence by anything that's a dover shevekdusha. Tana debay Rav Yishmael, v'kidasha l'chol dover shevekdusha, expounding on this idea, liftoach rishon, to get the first aliyah, ulavarech rishon, and to lead benching, v'litol mana yafa rishon, and to take the first portion, in a suda. That's the way Rashi explains. And when we talk about mana yafa, we are talking about a suda. However, the Mefaresh and Maseches Nedarim says that it doesn't make sense that mana yafa barishon is talking about a stam suda, because we're all talking about Dvarim Shebekdusha. The point is that Vikidasha, whenever you have a Dvar Shebekdusha, you always start with a kohen, so therefore benching. It's a Dvar Shebekdusha. You're going to let the coin lead benching. Aliyah, you're reading from the Torah. It's a Dvar Shebekdusha. You're going to allow the coin to get an aliyah. Who gets the first piece of bread? What sort of Dvar Shebekdusha is that? So Rashi and the Ran explain the Shita. They answer the Kasha of the Mefaresh that we are talking about a Sudas Mitzvah. So if you're eating a Sudas Mitzvah, then the truth is to take the first piece of bread by a Sudas Bris Milah or a Sudas Erisin, a Sudas Nisuin is going to be also considered to be a davar she vikdusha. So that's what we learn from the pasuk of vikidasho. So Amar Li Abaye Rav Yosef, v'mnei darkei shalom, daraisa hi. So says the Gemara, if so, your rayas are too good. We're asking, how do we know that the coin gets the first aliyah? So it says vikidasho, it says in the pasuk, it says in Torah, vikidasho. But we said that the reason that the coin gets the first aliyah is because of darkei shalom. So which is it? Is it a din daraisa, or is it a din mipnei darkei shalom? So Amar Li, daraisa v'mnei darkei shalom. It's daraisa and because of darkei shalom. In other words, it is a din daraisa. The reason that the Torah made this din, we saw a similar thing a couple of weeks ago where it was like darshina taima dekra, that we're explaining the reason for the Torah's halacha. The reason for the Torah's halacha is because of darkei shalom. Says the Gemara, kol haTorah kula nami mnei darkei shalom hi. The entire Torah, all of the halachas in the Torah are based in darkei shalom. Dechsiv derecher darkei noam v'chol nisiv v'seha shalom. That the entire objective of the Torah is that its ways should be pleasant and those of shalom. Elam Rabbaya. Lichadamar, Detanya, Shnayim Mamtinim Zelaze Bekaira, that two people have to wait for each other when they're eating. Shlosha e Mamtinim, if there were three people, then you don't have to wait for everybody. Habotseya, the person who is Botseya, meaning the Kohen or the Choshev at the meal, who poshet yado tchila, he is going to take the first portion. But if you want to extend kava to your Rebbe or to whoever's greater than you, then you're able to do so. That when do we talk about if you want to yield to somebody who's greater than you, then you can. That's only by suda. That's only by the botseya. Alvo v'beis ha'knesses lo da'asu lansuye. However, by a beis ha'knesses, you're not allowed to yield to whoever is greater than you because they're going to start fighting. In other words, what this means, says Rashi, is that yeah, midinda raisa, the coin goes first, but you're allowed to be mochel on the kavod. We say better not to be mochel on your kavod so that people don't start fighting. All right, so we'll stop here. We'll pick up with Amar Rav Masna tomorrow, God willing. Hope everybody has a wonderful day and a good Shabbos. You're welcome. Bye-bye.